This weather report was for Dale Air.
Dale!
Grab a Daikin spring deal now and beat the heat this summer. DaleAir.com.au.
Let's see what the markets are saying before your next investment. This is RSN 927's Futures Watch.
Welcome to Futures Watch. Matt Stewart in the chair for Trent Mosenhalder. We're going to look ahead with David Gately and the Tab's Nick Quinn to the ramifications from the weekend on the big races coming up. We're going to look at the Derby off the back of the UCI at Flemington and the Spring Champion Stakes at Randwick. Caulfield Cup markets off the back of racing in two states and also the Melbourne Cup. So plenty to look forward to and go through as Nick Quinn joins me first. G'day, Quinny.
Hello, Matthew. Good to see you calmed down after knocking out Ben Dorries in that previous show, and hopefully we can find a couple of winners in the big racing coming up over the next month.
Absolutely. Gator, how are you?
Well,
semi-naked as usual?
Well, I think I'm overdressed, actually. It's 26.
I know. It's glorious. It's glorious. All right. Well, there was fantastic racing on the weekend in two states, and it's basically a template and a scene setter for things that are even bigger and better, and we're going to look at the impact of a few of these races on some of the bigger races coming up. Quinny, you can be the captain. Where do we want to start? Do we want to look at how the UCI and the Spring Champion might have shaped Derby betting?
Yeah, we can certainly do that because Extra Brute has been a real firmer to go on and win the Victoria Derby with $17 on Saturday morning and now a $7 equal favourite after that impressive victory on Saturday. Sikorsky's been another big firmer, 26 into 9. Dink and Big's been a drifter, 7 out to 9. And Gator, I'll throw to you. Do you think the market's been a little bit harsh on Dink and Big after what was a pretty gallant effort in defeat after not a lot went right in transit?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I think he was very good. I mean, he's beaten the fourth horse easily. He worked in the run, didn't he, the three wide, and that's what you're referring to. And he still gave a kick, and he was beaten by two handy horses. I think the problem for him is Arameo may head there as well, and I noticed it's been a firmer as well. We know the filly who won the race won't go there. So to answer your question, I don't think he needed to drift. I think he did everything. You know, I thought he ran very well.
Mike Moroney had a winner at Wangaratta during the week, which leapt in. Its name escapes me. I backed it, and I still can't remember its name. $34 into $26. What I'm asking, Quinny, is that are these two entry points that we're talking about, the Spring Champion and the UCI, it doesn't end there, does it? We're going to get a few come out of the guineas, and we're going to get a few wild cards. What was the name of that Wang winner?
I mean, I heard you mention earlier, but
$26, Quinny. Look down the markets. It starts with G or C. Anyway.
Not Capata.
Capata. I think it might be a factor as well.
Okay.
All right, so they're going to come from all different directions. But, Gator, if I was to just pin you for the Sydney race or the Flemington race, which one do you think is going to weigh more heavily for the Derby?
Yeah, look, it's a race that traditionally evolves late, and that's probably the case again. But I think Thinking Big deserves to be right there. The reference from the Flemington run was pretty good. I mean, they ran a pretty solid sort of clip. They won 12.9 early. 113 and change. So a bit slower than last year, yet they've run about six lengths quicker than last year. And Main Stage, of course, won the race. And a few of those ran well in the Derby out of that race. So I think it's rated well relative to recent history. But Thinking Big looks like a stayer. Extra Brute's not bred to stay, but he wouldn't be the first non-bred stayer to win the Derby, would he?
Mahog?
And plenty.
All right, so plenty to unfold there. Just take us further down the markets there, Quinny, and there might be some horses that sort of catch our attention that we can discuss on the way through. So you mentioned the first two or three lines in betting there. Just take us through to the next range of betting in the Derby, and we'll see what we make of a few of those off what they've done recently.
Yeah, the runners at double-figure odds. Body, a $13 chance, as is Declaration of Heart, Gem Song and Savoir. And at $17, we have Mickey Blue Eyes, Muscle Brook and Alessandro Best the Rest at $26. So I think we will see this market change quite considerably between now and race time. And unlike several of the key three-year-old races, obviously half the question is which runners will actually go to the race.
Yeah.
I think Declaration of Heart's the one that really interests me. It sounds like he must be going through the Caulfield Guineas on his way through to the Derby. To me,
he's going to have a trial tomorrow and then jump out tomorrow in blinkers, and then they're going to make the decision whether they go to the Guineas or not.
Yeah, Guineas or Caulfield's, that 2,000-metre race, that might be an option for the horse. He's definitely looking for ground. I mean, he stayed at 1,400 in the lead-up race, and it didn't work. He just didn't quicken at all. But he warmed up late. He's a work in progress, though, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to both cups. And there's a bit of crossover here because some of the runs we're talking about we'll be looking at the near horizon of the Caulfield Cup, but also to how these horses are progressing to the Melbourne Cup. And, Quinny, the Turnbull Stakes, of course, we had Winx, but we'll take her out of the picture for the Cox Plate. And just take us through the runners that came out of the Caulfield, the Turnbull Stakes, and how much of an impact they've had on Caulfield Cup markets. This is with an eye to the overseas horses who are going to rock up as well.
Yeah, well, the Caulfield Cup, it has changed a little bit as well, because Young Start, 13 into 6 on the back of that eye-catching second on Saturday. And now the equal favourite with Kingswell Dream, who bottomed out at $4.50, now out to $6. Grunt's been out the gate, 17 out to 51. Jon Snow, a $51 chance. But joint favourites now for the Caulfield Cup. Others right in contention. Holmesman at 8 with Knight's Watch. Ace High, a $13 chance with Avilius, who's now listed as doubtful. Tozen Basil at 13. Best Solution at 17 with Egg Tart. But Gator, head-to-head, Kingswell Dream, Young Star. Who did you like more from Saturday?
Well, Youngstar was the better run, to my eye. She came wide, covered more ground than the runner-up. I guess the asterisk to that is I'm not convinced the inside was the absolute A-ground. So they've both run very well. Kingswell Dream's only just lasted for third, hasn't he, over Ventura Storm. Whereas Youngstar, what I loved about her was when Winx went to her, she surged. Such a good sign. And the clock's there to back her up. She came home 44-7 for last night. It's good going.
Going into the race, all the measures were how well are you going for the Caulfield Cup in regards to how close you're going to get to Winx. Mm. Like, if Kingswell Dream got within 2 lengths, he's the hot Caulfield Cup favourite. If he got within 4 lengths, he's still the favourite, but without the vice-like grip. But the way the race unfolded, the margin was never going to be exaggerated for Winx. So all these horses got pretty close to it, but does it necessarily overly strengthen their claims for the race with an eye to the internationals and even the Homesmans and Knights Watches and Ace Highs and all these? Did their grip tighten because they got close to Winx, or was it not that simple?
Look, I think it did because of the sustained speed they're able to bring home to the run of the line. So continually running quick sections is a great sign of a good athlete. And I think Young Star is emerging as that. In her wins in Queensland, she wasn't really smashing the clock, but she looks to have come back in good order. She was under pressure earlier than Kingswell Dream, yet still sort of outstayed him a bit. And I just wonder, he's had now, you know, 3 or 4 really good runs. Gee, it's hard to hold a horse together for a long period of time. I know he's in the right stable, but Young Star seems to be on the upward trajectory, doesn't she?
Peter Moody made a comment on Saturday morning on our outside broadcast along the lines of the only little query he's got with Kingswell Dream is whether he's up too early, doing it too well too early, and not the traditional we're slowly peak into the big races. Is that your little concern as well, that he's doing too well too early?
I referenced the exact same thing on at a TAB function where Quinny left me standing there, but it was all good. The exact same thing, and Weary was there. He didn't actually answer me. But I think the main point is that every horse is different. So for some horses, then the gradual build-up is absolutely the right one. But for other horses, like Winx and perhaps Kingswell Dream, they just run well every time they run, whether it's 1,400 first up, 2,400 later in the prep. So he just might be one of those.
Just before we go back to you, Quinny, and you might have a view on it as well, I'm just trying to work out the two conflicting groups that are coming into the Caulfield Cup now. We've got the Young Star, Kingswell Dream, $6 equal favourites group. Grunt's out the gate from Saturday. Jon Snow's out the gate. Against the Homesman, Knight's Watch, Eights High, Tosin Basil, and Best Solution, that group. Have you got a gut feeling about the strength of Saturday's Turnbull form, or you're still waiting to see how things unfold next week, or the fresh group coming in?
Oh, I think that the two horses that caught the eye on Saturday deserve their place at the top of the market. But for mine, I still have Kingswell Dream shorter than Young Star. Young Star was terrific on Saturday, but we heard Darren Weir not delighted with the ride. And I just think this horse had a perfect campaign towards the Caulfield Cup without actually winning a race.
Gator, the two camps going in, are you still going to, is it a wait and see brief, or are you convinced that the Young Star Kingswell Dream will hold up for the Caulfield Cup?
I'm sure it'll hold up. I'm sure they'll run well. I'm not telling you they'll be in front at the end of the race, because it's a great race. And Homesman, Tosin Basil have just run enormous, haven't they, at Wait for Age. Tosin Basil clearly on the upward spiral, and Homesman so tough, such a gritty win. So a lot to like about them. And then you add in the Knight's Watch, who comes from a different form line, but on times and measures, he's going to measure up as well, and he plummets in weight.
Just a gut feeling on, I mean, I know the internationals are yet to roll out, so we haven't really been tested against them. I've got a strong feeling that the locals are as strong as they could possibly be as a group, and I think they're well placed to withstand an unprecedented wave from Werribee. Have you got a feeling on the strength, especially the Caulfield Cup, not necessarily the Melbourne Cup, but from a Caulfield Cup point of view?
Yeah, it feels that way. It feels that way because their form internationally is so intertwined and so strong around world-class horses. Add to that their leading stables that are coming here. They've done it now with success, varying degrees of success in recent years. So I reckon they know what they're doing now, and they're bringing the real pointy end talent rather than the second or third level back in the Mamul days.
Just a quick take on, we'll take a break shortly, just a quick take on Grunt from you, Gator, and we'll get Quinny, because I think he's dropped out anyway.
Good.
We'll get Quinny shortly, but it's all about unravelling an attrition this spring, isn't it? And the
yeah.
first big name to unravel seems to be Grunt.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I could forgive his Corfu run when leading. I'm not sure that suited him. But it was disappointing on Saturday, even allowing for the fact that he laid out and was perhaps below his best. But it's a tough road back once you've had a couple of average runs.
And John Snow needs something that's never going to happen, a soft Caulfield track.
Yeah, if you're backing him early doors in the Caulfield Cup, you need Jane Bunn on your side, I think. You need a bit of, he needs Joe out of the track to compete at the real pointy end, I think.
Absolutely. All right, we'll get Quinny back, and then we're going to have a look at the Melbourne Cup. We're going to have a look at horses like Avilius. You're listening to Markets Watch.
When a safety barrier is hit, it catches you like a net, slows you down, and prevents you from hitting a tree or oncoming traffic. Safety barriers save lives, getting us towards zero.
Maccas have a new breakfast burger. It's called the Big Mac. That's right, you can now have a Big Mac for brekkie, or a cheeseburger, quarter pounder, fries and chicken McNuggets. Now available all day, all night. Select items available all day.
Are you ready for it?
Tuesday, RSN 927's first TAB Super Morning. The Breakfast Club and Racing Pulse join forces at Caulfield.
From 6 a.m, we get as close as we can to the Equine Stars as they have their last workout before the Caulfield Guineas.
Michael Felgate, Adam White, Jason Richardson and the Herald Sun Scott Gullen lead the team live from the trainer's station.
We'll get the latest word from the jockeys and the trainers, including James McDonald, who's on the favourite in both the Caulfield Guineas and the Thousand Guineas. We'll also keep in touch with the rest of the morning sports news and welcome Collingwood star Taylor Adams.
It's our first TAB Super Morning, 6 till 10 this Tuesday with the spirit of the Spring Racing Carnival. RSN 927.
Are you ready for it?
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the TAB app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the TAB app today and stay ahead of the game. TAB. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
This is the year you go racing in Mansfield's famous Marks IGA Melbourne Cup Day meeting. Enter your horse now for the brilliant picnic card on the best picnic track with a cash trainer incentive and an iRaced at Mansfield cap included. Mansfield is calling, so nominate now.
We crunch the numbers to give you the heads up in the Futures Watch.
You are listening to Futures Watch. I've got Gator here with me. Nick Quinn's on the line as well. And we've had a good chin wag about the Caulfield Cup. And it might be time to move on to the bigger picture of the Melbourne Cup and just what happened on the weekend that might reshape things, with an eye to knowing that most of the key contenders are yet to roll out from Werribee. But Quinny, I guess the big mover was Avilius, and the big question mark is how they go to the Melbourne Cup now, whether they go via the Cox Plate or do an Almandon from 2 years ago and just bide their time. But either way, I think we've got a Melbourne Cup favourite now, don't we?
An outright Melbourne Cup favourite. You're absolutely spot on, Matt. With Avilius 13-9 on the back of that victory on Saturday, heads the market now from Cross Counter Magic Circle at 13, Ace High at 17 with Hamada and Homesman, Latrobe at 17 with Tosin Basil. The question on everyone's lips, though, Gator, is will Avilius run a strong 3,200?
It's a great question. What I did say on Saturday was a small margin, but a very, very good win, because he's had to carry 58.5 and sustain quite a strong speed, a strong gallop to the line. He cruised up to them, then laid in a bit. He's only won narrowly, but look, he's run pretty good time, 2:35.4. The race was run, as mentioned, at a brutal speed with Harrison with the blinkers on overdoing it. They ran about 10 lengths faster in the race than last year, where the race had Amelia's Star and Al Mandan in it, who both ran in the Melbourne Cup. So, short answer, I don't know, but he deserves his place in the field.
We go into that mystery period now, don't we? Because if they opt to do the European thing, which I think that, you know, it's a 50-50 and not go again until the Melbourne Cup. We don't see the Melbourne Cup favourite again for a few weeks. We don't see half the Werribee horses until they walk into the mounting yard at Flemington on Cup Day. So I guess, Gator, it's about what things happen in the meantime that will affect the market. Obviously, the Caulfield Cup is the obvious thing that will do it.
Yeah, that's right. And perhaps a little bit of, you know, splashing of the country cups with Geelong's been a pretty good reference in recent years. Outside of that, yeah, there's probably not a lot of action. Lining this guy's form up, Avilius, obviously he boasts a second to Cracksman at home, over 2,400, so not out to the staying trip. Cracksman's a horse that's tying in a few of these internationals, including Cliffs of Moher and a few of those.
Are you, there's 11 internationals going to roll out at Caulfield on Saturday across, you know, Jungle Cat and the Toorak. We're going to have Herbert Power. We're going to have maybe one or two in the Caulfield Stakes. Is your gut feeling that that's going to be a very big day for Melbourne Cup markets?
Well, I think so. I guess what has thrown another spanner in the works, if you like, is the delayed departure of the gallopers. Will that have any further impact on them? I mean, they're such finely tuned athletes that I don't think it could possibly help.
Well, it's an interesting one. And sorry, Quinny, we'll get back to the markets in a sec. But the initial fear, I spoke to a couple of vets, was that this could be a disaster. Mm. Pneumonia, travel sickness, dehydration, missing work and all that sort of stuff. All reports are that they've all travelled remarkably well. But you're an athlete. The proof's going to be in performance, not the immediate settling in period, I would have thought.
Exactly right. It's full pressure. It's when you're under full pressure.
I say you're an athlete with an inverted comma.
Inverted comma, yeah. Not elite by any stretch. But, it's when they're under full pressure that the test comes. You can't get to your threshold, and that's where, you know, it makes or breaks you. And that's, unfortunately, we won't know till game day with a few of them.
Quinny, just on that, with the markets, did the markets react? This is a question without notice, and you may not have the answer, but wondering whether the markets reacted to the stranding of those horses on the airport at Sharjah and the delay, whether, was there a knock through the markets on the potential, you know, ramifications of that?
Look, not really, to be perfectly honest, and I think because there wasn't really support for any other rivals at the top of the market, but you're obviously inclined, if you want to back a horse, to make sure your weights are there here and healthy and up and running, and it'll be fascinating with Avilius as well, because if they do go straight into the Melbourne Cup, we saw Al Mandon's price literally double between when he did run and when he won the Melbourne Cup on the back of out of sight, out of mind. Will the same thing happen, or will the famous Cummings name mean that there's so much support he goes around a popular pick?
The markets suggest, and this goes with the nature of Australian racing, Gator, that we can probably stretch to 2,400, but we're not that well equipped to get to 3,200. The markets suggest we're going to be right in the Caulfield Cup, but just looking through all these big names of internationals, and Quinny, you might want to just throw up the top 10 in Melbourne Cup betting back at me. It suggests that as well as we're going to go in the Caulfield Cup, we're going to struggle to play a major role in the Melbourne Cup. Do the markets reflect that between both races, Quinny?
Yeah, well, if you look at the Melbourne Cup market, out of the top 13 in betting, there's three that are trained by Australians. They are Avilius, Ace High, and also Homesman.
Yeah, and that's probably why the way modern history's going, Gator.
Yeah. And I agree. And look, I think the race is better for it, but we have to evolve, adapt or die, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, an interesting curveball for me was Tony McAvoy's decision to run a hood not in the 1,000 guineas against the girls, but he's going to bowl her up against the boys in the Caulfield guineas. So you got your head around the markets for both and the likely strength of both. Is this a reasonable throw at the stumps for the narrow winner of the flight stakes?
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you why I think it is. That Maid of Heaven's just beaten the boys in Sydney and done a great job of it. Merrill was soundly beaten by them, came down and beat our girls in the Group 2, the Mini Valley, last Friday week. They're a terrific crop of fillies up there. Even though they've been blanket finishers, don't be deterred. They're all good. You know, a blanket finish means only two things. One, they're all average, or one, they're all good.
Yep.
And I think they're all good. And Ahud's win was terrific, and she keeps running terrific sectionals. Her problem is that she's going to run into the autumn sun. Now, I think out of every other male three-year-old, she's right in the game. She's right with them. But this guy looks to stand on a pedestal all on his own. Now, I can see what Tony's thinking, that he's got to get around Caulfield still. He's inexperienced. You know, he's got to travel down, get on his other leg. He wouldn't be the first horse in history from Sydney to fail at Caulfield. So it's absolutely worth a throw at the stumps, I think.
she's got her Group 1 now, so she's worth whatever she's ever going to be worth at stud, and the $2 million versus the $500,000. So it does make sense in that respect. Give us the snapshot of the top five or six in betting for the 1,000 guineas as opposed to the Caulfield guineas, and it might sort of illustrate the point that maybe there's outside the autumn sun, maybe there's not a lot between the competitors, Quinny. Just give us the top few in the markets for both races there.
I'll start with the Caulfield guineas, where the autumn sun has firmed from 2.10 into even money today. The dominant favourite, from Leonardo da Vinci, a $7 second elect, Native Soldier at 9. Then we have Uhud, who's a $13 chance, and Rainier was 21 into 17 on Saturday, subsequently 17 into 13 today. Obviously, the luckless runner from Flemington on Saturday. The 1,000 guineas more open. The Chris Lees duo dominate the market. Smart Melody at 3. Eldorado Dreaming, a $5 second elect. Thrillster at 7, then double figures or better the rest. But it's going to be a big, big Saturday.
Native Soldier. If it was run anywhere else but Caulfield, it'd be 100-1. He's going to have to do a Star Spangled Banner to keep going. But that Smart Melody, Eldorado Dreaming, Thrillster, I reckon you're in most people's corner here that that's a massive form line.
Yeah, I think that's true. Look, I've been spruiking the Sydney fillies, but those three out of that guineas lead up the Tranquil Star were terrific. Smart Melody able to sustain speed and hold on. Thrillster's run was enormous. You could argue strongly if she gets cover, she finishes alongside the winner. And Eldorado Dreamer was only first up, so there's so much room to move there with her. Interesting note on Rainier, back to the Caulfield guineas, who's been well backed, according to Quinny with the tab. His start before he was beaten by a horse called Nikita Jane. Nikita Jane finished alongside Maid of Heaven in the Flight Stakes, and of course she then beat the male. So there's a bit of depth to that form, even though he's big odds.
Yeah, absolutely. Quinny, just before we let you go and Gator go, just on the nothing seems to rattle the cage of Winx in the Cox Plate markets, but has there been any adjustment after racing in the last few days to the Cox Plate betting?
Look, it's a fascinating one as well, because there's been a lot of intrigue around who will run second and third and the place markets and whatnot. Winx all the rage now, just $1.20 to win the Cox Plate. The only other firmer after the weekend was Savvy Coop, who was 100-1 into 51 after a very nice win over in New Zealand. It has subsequently been 51 into 26 and is $4.57 to run a place. Trent Massenhelder has Humidor running for the debt of a small nation to finish top three. He's currently a $13 second elect and $2.71 in place markets. D'Argento at 17 and Avilius in the market at 26.
Savvy Coop into $26. Are you familiar with Savvy Coop's work, Gator?
Look, it was a nice win. I haven't looked at the clock yet. Those times haven't come through, but won well to the eye, yep.
Yeah. All right, we might round it up there, guys. Good on you, Quinny. Thanks very much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Matty.
Gator, thanks for slipping in.
Anytime.
You've been listening to Futures Watch. We're going to take a break on RSN, and we're going to come back with winners. You can.